Today on Locked On Red Wings, Detroit snaps their three-game losing streak as they win it in a shootout over the St. Louis Blues.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ News Radio podcast. Well, Scotty's the host over at Lockdown Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Lockdown. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/Lockdown today to get started. And Scotty, the losing streak is over. The Red Wings went into St. Louis and took care of business against a team that, like we were saying yesterday, had every capability of beating, and they took to a shootout, but they got the job done. And, you know, it's weird because it was a very sloppy game in the first, especially. I felt like the Red Wings came out with speed, and then St. Louis quickly just kind of responded. And from there, it just felt like a super sloppy first period, but they regrouped in the intermission. And after that, it felt like it was still close, but it felt like the Red Wings had the edge throughout the rest of the game and heavily near the end of the third.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me throughout really the entire game, other than my love for the shootout, is just that the as the game got further along, the Wings got better. And that's something that we have not said very much this season at all, right? Like, we've talked so many times about games where the Wings got off to a really hot start or scored first or got off to an early lead or even just like played really well in the first period and like the scoreboard maybe didn't show it and then like just slowly kind of fell back in the second period. And then how many times have we talked about a third period against where the opposing team just outshot the heck out of you, right? Like, we've talked about that so many times. The Tampa Bay game like a couple of months ago is the biggest one that stands out to me. And so just playing tight at the beginning and just the further and further the game went along, the Wings looking better and better and like quite honestly dominating the third period is I'll gladly take it, especially in a win. So
yeah, without a doubt, that's how it felt to me, as if the it just felt like they came out fast. They really did. And then a horrible defensive play. Blues get on the board, Bortuzzo scores, and it just felt super sloppy from there. The Red Wings were able to get right back on the board thanks to Alex Chiasson's goal. I want to just take a second, man.
Dog.
That's a guy. He's a gift that keeps on giving. He's not great. Like, let's be honest. Alex Chiasson is exactly what Alex Chiasson is. How much ice time did he get total in this game, I'm wondering? Is he finally earning a little bit more? He had a total of 12 minutes of ice time in this game, which is significantly more than he was getting previously, about 4 minutes more.
Right.
But he primarily
seven a night at
one point. He primarily plays on the power play, right? And they put him right there in the net front. And David Perron, and credit to Chiasson, he got himself open down low on the power play and just was able to bank it home. But that seems to be like, you talk about Ovi's office being like that left dot. Chiasson's office is the paint. Just the paint right in front of the goalie.
Chiasson's office, baby. Chiasson's office. It's right there, man. Right in front of the net. Right in the paint, baby. It's not the goalie's office. That's Chiasson's office, baby.
He's got four of his goals for the Red Wings since signing his contract, his NHL contract, have come on the power play right there. And there's not a lot to break down other than the fact like, hey, good job getting that stick on the ice without a guy on you, like just being a menace.
Way to set up shop. Way to unpack your stuff, make it feel like home, and take over your little area of the ice, bud.
And we say it half jokingly, but in the same vein, that was something that Oscar Sundquist couldn't do all season long. Yep. That is something that Lucas Raymond had moderate success at. Alex Chiasson comes in and does something very simple, very well, and he's in 8 minutes ice time a night scores a goal almost every night on the power play. Like,
right.
I don't know if it's just luck. I don't know what the deal is, but he's doing something right down low and it's rewarding him. So Chiasson power play goal tied it up 1-1. David Perron and Dylan Larkin got assists on that. So David Perron getting an assist coming back home on a kind of a very they did one quick welcome back Husso and Wallman during one media timeout, and then they spent like an actual elongated media timeout welcoming back David Perron. Like the game was delayed because everyone was still on their feet giving him a standing ovation, and that was really impressive to me. I really like he was tearing up and everything, and that just like you know strikes a chord a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that's. I mean, we kind of talked about what yesterday is that when we talked about the kind of the weird trajectory of the Blues over the last 5 years and for the next 5 years. Like, and he's a massive reason for all of that. Like when you go back, you know, 3-4 years ago and you start looking at those Blues teams that were like underachieving and underperforming, and then, you know, like the turnaround, obviously, and like even like the years after the turnaround and stuff like that, that makes sense that he's beloved there, I guess. Like that's a key. He wore an A there, right? Like that's a key part to some good years for that organization, and some unexpected good years, I guess, is why I think there's probably so much love and appreciation there. But yeah, very cool to see. Anytime any player goes back to, you know, a place where they have a lot of fond memories, I just love seeing like player fan interactions like that. It's very cool.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome to see. Unfortunately, those good feelings were short lived because soon after that, Marco Scandella with a ripper from the point.
Yes.
Made it 1-1. And you're sitting there going, well, that was nice while it lasted. But right back to it in regards to this, because it had that vibe. They were playing so sloppy after that first goal by Robert Portuzo. It had that vibe like it was going to be another blowout because they just couldn't find their rhythm. But then with just a couple minutes left in the first period, my boy, Philip Zadina must have heard me ranting on yesterday's episode as he receives a puck off a redirection from a Dominik Kubalík shot, and he just buries it, catches everyone out of position because it was a redirection. And, you know, really could hard to mess that one up, but we've seen him do it in the past, and it definitely put a smile on my face. And that was near the end of the first. It was a morale killer for the St. Louis Blues, tied it up late, and then going into the locker room, the Red Wings seemingly regrouped, and from the second period on, I felt like it was the Red Wings game. It was close, but I felt like it was the Red Wings game.
No, for sure. It definitely had the feel of, and again, like I don't want to like broken record it, but it had the feeling a lot of what the feeling that I have towards other teams that play the Red Wings a lot is how I felt just like in reverse, right? Like so many times we talk about games where like, oh, the Wings got heavily outplayed, but like, look, the scoreboard. And this was kind of the opposite from the Wings perspective, where like, hey, you know, it was a close game, but I really did feel like the Wings kind of had the upper hand for almost all of it. And again, especially the third period was, I don't know, I think domination might be the right word, even though, you know, they didn't score like 7 goals in a period or anything. But as far as like possession and shots go, just like utter domination, Blues didn't really have too many opportunities there. So, it was a nice... It was nice. I don't care about the opponent. It was just nice to see.
Well, and what's really interesting too is, so you're right that they were an offensive zone like threat throughout most of the third period. There was the last 2 minutes, the Blues kind of made a push back, and I was really nervous they were going to take a lead late after all the good the Red Wings had done. But the Red Wings had an expected goals for of 1.07 in the third period. But get this, in the second period, Scotty, the Red Wings had expected goals for percentage of 90%. In the second. And that's because their expected goals against, it wasn't because of a dominating expected goals for, it was because their expected goals against was 0.05 in the second period. So the second was kind of a good example of what defense can do to help you, you know, again, they didn't take the lead or anything, but help you control a game. And the third period was an example of how good offense and cycling can do to help you control the game. So it was kind of the second and third period were great periods for the Red Wings for two different reasons in my eyes, but good reasons nonetheless. But we got to get to a quick break. When we come back, Scotty, we'll continue talking about this overtime shootout win, apologies, over the St. Louis Blues. We also got to mention, I think when we first come back, we'll kind of address the Edvinson thing. I think we intended to talk about that out of the gate, but then I got swept right up into the victory. but we'll do that as soon as we come back. So stay tuned to Locked On Red Wings. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about FanDuel. The tournament is heating up now, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss this chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Segment two, Locked On Red Wings podcast. We're talking about the 3-2 shootout win over the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis Enterprise Arena, I believe is what it's called. Simon Edvinson did not play in this game. We were told that it was going to come down to warmups, as both Edvinson and Lindstrom were dealing with a nagging injury. Edvinson, after the, I'm imagining, the check by Radko Gudas in the game against the Panthers.
He got checked out on the bench right after it happened. Yeah, he went down the tunnel and finished the game. So, like, you know, the fact that that ended up being a little bit more serious than, you know, like an injury that usually you're able to jump right back in the game doesn't really surprise me.
But of course, when people see that Edvinson is getting scratched for Gustav Lindstrom, people are going to start firing up the, you know, the angry.
It was just ill timing, because like he gets scratched and then the third D pairing gives up a goal and you're like, all right, that would have been a little bit more, you know, maybe I'd like to see Edvinson out there. That honestly, I think that was really the only reason that. And then it, like, you know, Twitter ended up doing Twitter things. But, yeah, it was funny for
it,
sure.
It just came down to Lindstrom hadn't played since getting hurt. Yeah. Edvinson was dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury. And Lalonde probably said, I'll give the rookie, after a superb game, a night off so we don't exacerbate whatever's going on. And Lindstrom can get in a game after not being in a game for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It made sense. Of course, the fan in me wanted to see Edvinson. But logistically, yeah, everyone it made did, sense. But... Hey, and he even picked up an assist in this game. So good for Lindstrom, despite being out there for that goal against that was really bad at the start of the game. So the second period onward, Scotty, I felt, again, we both feel the Red Wings kind of took over this game. But no scoring was had. But that doesn't mean there can't be good things to take away. I think one good thing to take away is one of the reasons why I think the Red Wings began to take over the game after that is Hellberg really seemed to settle down in that. The first period, he, like everyone else, kind of looked a little bit sloppy. He looked a little bit jittery, over-lateraling for things. I'm trying to think if there's a word for that, but over-committing to one side or the other.
There it is.
And he looked a little lost in net sometimes, and the glove hand was a little suspect. After the first period, he really settled down and was making some big-time saves, especially in overtime.
Yeah, for sure. OT was his period, honestly, more than anyone
else.
And the
shootout.
But, you know, the thing about Hellberg that's so fascinating is that he makes big saves. And he'll, when he is locked in and goes into his zone, he will be as good as a lot of other goalies in this league. It's just he'll go from, like, crazy locked in and you're like, oh wow, like Hellberg's kind of feeling it. That was a really nice save. And then he'll allow two of the softest goals you'll ever see in your life. And you're like, what just happened? And that's just really, I mean, honestly, that's been the story of most of his, at least Red Wings tenures at the NHL level, is it's just like you, he has all the makings to be a really, really solid backup goalie in this league. I truly believe that, but it's just, it's inconsistency, not only from night to night, because that's kind of like what backup goalies are, but it's inconsistency from like
goal to goal.
Yeah. Like shot to shot. And it's really kind of fascinating in that regard. So very cool to see him really get locked in. And again, I mean, he's the MVP of the overtime period. Like that was that, you know, pretty clearly at that. So yeah, really solid game. And he, you know, we talk, so many fans like to bring up like the post, and we've had this conversation before, like the post trade deadline season as like, oh, you know, that's, It's pointless from here on out. Like, the games don't matter. And, like, you know, to Magnus Hellberg, they matter a lot. This dude's playing for stats and for an NHL contract this offseason.
So. And, I mean, I think after that first, those first two goals, he stopped, like, the next, what, 22?
Yeah.
So after a shaky first period from the entire team, he stopped the next 22, including overtime, and finished with an above 900 save percentage. And a huge save also on Jacob Vrana. And was it the first or the second period that occurred?
Yeah, which time? Vrana was letting it rip.
He looked like a motivated hockey player out there.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's one of those things where I'm like rooting for him. I'm like, but not today. Not today, Vrana. Yeah, no,
for sure. It was good to see him. It was good to see him really, like, applying pressure and really going at it. It felt like... I'm sure it wasn't actually that many, but it felt like he had like 30 shots, you know, like I'm sure you look at the scoreboard. It was like three, but like
he had five shots.
Five. Okay. There you go.
Any player.
Oh, it felt like a lot more, I think, just because it was so like high intensity, but obviously rooting for the kids still and hoping that it works out. But glad that we were able to keep him off the scoreboard tonight.
Because it felt as if, that's not a surprise. It felt as if every shot he was taking, Jacob Vrana felt like he looked like the Jacob Vrana that we were sold, right? That was Jacob Vrana. And they put him in high intensity situations. He was getting power play time. He got overtime time. And he was creating plays with his speed and his hands and his vision. He had some shots from high danger areas. He led the St. Louis Blues in expected goals for percentage with 81.96. He was a 51% relative to his teammates. The team was 50% better when he was on the ice in quality shot attempts, which is crazy. Like that's how good Jacob Vrana can be. It sucks the way that bridge got burned with Detroit, because you see it in games like this, how he can work out, and you hope whatever demons he's battling, he can continue to suppress and continue to win that battle against, because you never completely win that fight. Right. So you hope that he continues to win this fight throughout the rest of his career. It has a successful career, just not against Detroit. But I understand that the extra motivation was probably there because it was the Red Wings.
For sure.
But he's a phenomenal hockey player, and I'm so bummed that didn't work out in Detroit, and I'm really rooting for him.
Yeah, of course.
He was so good in this hockey game.
Of course, absolutely.
I do think that Filip Zadina, for what it's worth, had a pretty good game too. And he was also rewarded with power play and overtime time. I don't know if you noticed that, but I saw him on the power play unit too and in overtime on the ice. And, of course, again, he had that goal. But it's just, again, I understand. I don't want to get on my soapbox, my Filip Zadina soapbox, so I'll leave it at that. But clearly he is earning some respect in the locker room and with the coaching staff if he's getting that kind of time. It's just his biggest problem is and always will be actually putting that puck in the back of the net. And he does everything else right. It's just can't fill the back of the net.
Yep. we don't need to have this conversation every day of the week. Like
I'm okay with it, because I'm a big, you know, I stand Filip Zadina.
Yes, he objectively plays really well in the neutral zone. He's really good on the forecheck, especially when the whole team is more aggressive on the forecheck. He can really just let it fly. He even has a great ability to get to the net. Putting the puck in the net, however, yeah.
Also, speaking of like overthinking it, Joe Valeno on the breakaway tried to do the Peter Forsberg on Kofor, and it didn't work out so hot for him. And I'm just like, yeah, you gotta make a simpler shoot, Joe. You're not that guy. You're not that guy.
Just make a decision and stick with it.
Yeah. It was definitely something to watch. Let's see. I also got Nick Leddy, big breakaway save on Nick Leddy in overtime. It was a two-way revenge game for a lot of players. Hellberg came up huge there. I was like,
you know who had a great game?
I hope
Jake Woolman.
I was going to say, yeah.
Had a freaking fantastic game.
That's where I was going with the two-way revenge comment, because, you know, Leddy had the breakaway attempt. Jacob Vrana was fantastic and led the Blues in expected goals for percentage. Well, Jake Woolman led the Detroit Red Wings in expected goals for percentage with 81.6, 34.56 relative at 5-on-5. He was phenomenal. His edge work is something to behold. He turned on a dime at one point behind the net, just completely. It's funny because he did like a double juke where he turned on a dime to the left And the Blues player was expecting that. So he went that way and then turned on a dime immediately, like split second later, back the other way and went up the boards. Jake Walman is just turning such a dynamic. I won't even say offensive defenseman. He's turning into a dynamic two-way defenseman on the back end.
Yeah, great.
So I continue to love the Jacob Vrana or the Jake Walman stuff. I do like the Jacob Vrana stuff as well. But I mean, when we come back, we'll give the rest of our flowers and wrap this conversation up. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Indeed. No matter how the last game went, anytime you take the field, you've got a shot at greatness. Give your team the best shot at winning by recruiting more MVPs with Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. I know from personal experience, Indeed makes the hiring process so much easier. I talked about it last time. We had the Indeed read here, but when I was the assistant manager over at Little Caesars Arena's team store, Indeed was the best way of hiring people. And we had our own little internal portal there at the LCA, and it didn't work nearly as well as just going on Indeed because the way they consolidate everyone's information into one easily readable piece of information for you to go off of and do your interviews, it helped a ton. So Indeed is definitely the way to go. Start right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. And that offer is valid through March 31st. Segment 3, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Thanks for the thumbs up there, Scotty. Means a lot, buddy.
I got you, man.
Appreciate it. Scotty, what else did you like from this Red Wings win, or what else did you not like?
No, I think it's mostly positive. I thought that, in a similar breath to some of the other players we've talked about in this game, I thought Lucas Raymond, was very, very solid. Honestly, like the top line as a whole, I thought was pretty good. And I think Raymond was a big piece in that. That was a big one. And then, you might remember the article about like Berger hasn't been scoring goals, but don't worry about it.
Yes.
So I thought he had a great game.
He did.
In this one as well. And that just kind of was one coherent thought in my head. And clearly it was not a coherent thought.
Coming out of my mouth there.
But Raymond was definitely a big one that I noticed was having kind of everywhere. He was just flying. And then Berggren, I thought, was solid too.
So that's a solid point. And it's funny that you say Raymond and Berggren in consecutive moments there. That is probably a better way of saying that, but I guess I'm having a moment now too. So Walman, like I said, led the team in expected goals 4 or 5 on 5, but Raymond and Berggren were second and third, 79% and 74% respective. They were on the ice and they were helping produce offense for the team. Now, my one thing about Raymond is 3-on-3 overtime. He has the puck. Luke Shen's stick broke.
Yeah.
So it's basically 3-and-2.5.
Right.
Raymond completely, it just felt like he underestimated Luke Shen without a stick and tried to just skate right by him. And Luke Shen just bided him against the boards. And this has been one of the ongoing issues with Lucas Raymond this season is he's clearly got to bulk up a little bit. I think he's just not as strong, especially considering his size. He's not as strong as a lot of the opponents. And that's what's been hurting him. He gets knocked off the puck a little bit too easily.
Yeah, I think this is a great conversation to have in the offseason, honestly, so we can kind of circle back to it when we want to, I don't know, if we do like breakdowns or like grades for players or whatever we do this offseason. But I think I'm not even 100% convinced it's like a need to get like huge. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, you want to bulk up a little bit. Sure, that's fine. But I think it's more of just like IQ in that regard, like how to utilize your size more to your advantage rather than getting, you know what I mean? Like rather than getting like out physicaled so often, like kind of just like find your way around that. Like, cause he's never gonna be like bigger. And yes, if he gets if he puts on some muscle, that'd be great. But he's never gonna be like a huge guy on the ice. So I think more than anything, it's just about finding ways to utilize his skill set more without having to be like that physical bigger player, because he's never going to be that. I hope that makes sense.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, a guy his size, 5'10", is, although taller than I am, is short for the NHL, and he's going to have to find a way to deal with guys who are bigger and stronger than him, because he's going to be dealing with that his entire career. So I agree. But by that being said, by no means am I worried about Lucas Raymond yet. He's, what I said it yesterday, 20 or 21 years old. He's in his second season. I mean, there's still so much time for him to adjust and get better at playing the game at the NHL level. And he did score the shootout winner, which won't go down on the score sheet as a goal, but was a much deserved feather in the cap of what was a really good game for Lucas Raymond. So I was really happy to see that. Scotty, now there's one more thing. This is a negative thing about this game, but I will be happy if I never have to see a drop pass ever again the rest of my life. And this is something you have brought up multiple times throughout the season, but I felt as if in today's game it was especially egregious. And I noticed it on the power play, where the Red Wings would forfeit a zone entry. Not even like they met with a pressure and resistance. They got to the blue line, and they would dump it from the blue line all the way back to the opposite blue line to whoever's there and just forfeit any forward momentum that they had.
It drives me nuts, and it has gotten so much worse the last 2 weeks, I swear, dude. And to your point, it is always the power play. Always. They have a play. They run. Watch. Look for the next game. They run the same power play every single time. They're about to enter the zone, and usually a defenseman has the puck, right? Sider has the puck. And then it's drop pass. Dylan Larkin, full speed, takes it, and that's how they try to zone enter. They just, like, drop pass, and, oh, Larkin's at full speed. That gives us a better chance. And then it turns into nothing. It is egregious, and it has been so blatantly apparent for the last 2 weeks.
Here's an idea. Just give Dylan Larkin the puck to begin with. He'll probably get in the zone.
That's what I'm saying. You don't need to do all this, man.
Or instead, let Mort Sider carry the puck into the zone, because he's more than capable of doing it. Why are we having our future star on the team carry it to the blue line and then just drop it 30 feet behind him and hope Dylan Larkin's there ready to pick it up?
He's got more momentum, bro. it's all they do. Like, I kid you not, I don't think there's been a power play where we haven't done it at least once in 3 weeks. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
In other news,
it's insane.
Red Wings, that was their 70th and 71st point on the season. I believe last year they finished with 74 points. So despite being one position lower in the Atlantic Division than where they were last year, at least at the end of the season, the Red Wings are only 3 points back with 12 games left from where they were last season. So I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, despite the struggles, it has still been a step forward. And that's hard to say sometimes and hard to see other times, but it's been a step forward.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is something we talked about going into the season too, how like the step forward might be even more difficult to see this year than like a normal step forward for a lot of other teams in years past as well, just because of how redonkulous this division is, right? But when taking everything into consideration, this is like, don't get it twisted. This is still objectively a better hockey team than last year. And they, again, very much so took a step in the right direction. And it's all going to come down to this offseason. I've said it a million times. I know we'll probably talk about it plenty in the offseason after game 82, but like, this is the most important offseason the Red Wings have had in maybe a decade, in my eyes.
Completely agree. I don't think there's really any argument in that. It's what's funny is last season was the biggest offseason, but that's because every offseason...
Yeah, this one dwarfs that tenfold.
It's because every season is growing in importance. Now, Scotty, just a little teaser for what we're going to talk about tomorrow, because I feel as if we have to address it. But this new jersey partner... uniform partner for the NHL, Fanatics.
Yeah, we got an off day tomorrow, right? It's a nice time.
Yeah, we do have a game preview for segment three, but it's going to be the Blues again. So, I mean, we just played them. How much preview do you want us to do? I don't like it. I don't like it.
Have you met someone that does?
Nope. And that's the
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's the craziest.
You're not going to meet. You're not going to meet any of them here. So that's two more people.
I've never seen the NHL ratioed as hard as they did on Tuesday when they announced Fanatics for 10 years is going to be the partner of the NHL's uniforms, because everyone knows, and I know this from personal experience working at LCA's retail store, Fanatics gear is garbage. So we're going to have a fun little conversation about that for at least one, maybe two segments tomorrow. And then we'll talk about the game as it stands coming up, and maybe some other stuff. We'll see what comes our way. So, oh, also Matt Luff, emergency recall. He played today. He was the worst player on the team. Expected goals four wise. Fun fact. Yeah. drop that little dirty bomb right at the end of the episode. Scotty, any final thoughts?
World Baseball Classic was awesome.
I know I get a lot of,
but everyone likes to make fun of baseball, but like the last 2 weeks have been such an unbelievable win for the game of baseball. And
there's no argument.
That makes me very happy. So,
the WBC was,
though,
I was just going to say the WBC was without a doubt like a stellar event.
Yeah. Incredible. So I'm very the baseball fan in me, even though USA lost and kind of disappointing end to it. I mean, getting an Ohtani versus Trout at bat with two outs, bottom of the ninth, full count. Like that's what kids dream of in their backyard. And it was on the biggest stage, and, you know, Japan versus USA, that those are two powerhouses in the WBC. And so, yeah, I massive, massive win for the game of baseball, which they don't take very many of, so I'm going to be very, very happy for a couple of days until the regular season starts in a week and a half, and then my baseball team stinks. But
yeah, and now they have to go back to playing for the Angels. So that's the highlight of their years already over.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Scotty. Well, let's wrap this up.
We'll be back with
a new episode tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Every day.